We'll go ahead and begin today's call. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Naralo Monthly Teleconference on Monday, the 9th of June, 2014 at 1900 UTC. On the call today, we have Alan Skews, Ubelkis Montevil, Glenn McKnight, Jolie McPhee, Robert Castingay, Olivia Crepin-LeBlond, Darlene Thompson, Garth Graham, Garth Bruin, Judith Hellerstein, Oki Matisse, Gordon Chillicoff, and Tom Lowenhaupt. We have apologies from Alan Greenberg and Eduardo Diaz. From staff, we have Ariel Liang, Sylvia Bivanco, Natalie Peregrine, Natalie is not on the call, I apologize. Heidi Ulrich, Joe Catapano, and myself, Terry Agnew. I'd like to also remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Garth.
Thank you. This is Garth Bruin. If the chair could read the action items. Thank you.
Thank you, Garth. It's Glenn McKnight for the transcript. Okay, the action items, it's in the middle of your screen. First item, Susie Johnson to gather the latest Naralo brochures. That's the ones with the proper address. 50 English, 25 French, and 25 Spanish to be sent to London and to Glenn McKnight for activities. Glenn will send a mailing address to Susie. Second item, Heidi Ulrich to check on transcripts for ICANN session. Alan Greenberg to confirm Naralo's election schedule and put on the wiki. Gisela Gruber and Terry Agnew to follow up on the turnaround for transcripts for all meetings. And Garth Bruin has then suggested one single page for all the media listed. And last item is Heidi to follow up with Janice and Rob on whether the crop request can be submitted for approval. Back to you.
Thank you very much. This is Garth Bruin, and welcome to the June call. I appreciate everybody being here. I want to make sure that everybody refreshes their the conference agenda, the teleconference agenda, to make sure you have the most up-to-date agenda, because it may have changed in the last hour. We're going to have two main topics we need to focus on. One is our pending elections, and the other one is preparation for Atlas II. If there's any time remaining at the end of the call, we can discuss other issues, but those two are taking precedence over everything else, and appreciate your understanding with that. So in terms of Heidi, yes, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Hi, Garth. This is Heidi. Thank you. I'm wondering if you would like to have an update from staff on those various action items.
Yes, just on a couple of them. I think that that list may be outdated, but if you do have any updates, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Very quickly. So the one on the Naralo brochures, my understanding is that Susie has been in touch with Glenn and that she'll actually be bringing those various brochures to London and to give them to Glenn there. On the transcription issue, Gisela followed up with our language services, and again, this is the scribing. And again, due to the cost issues right now and likely for the foreseeable future, that they will only be for the major meetings, the major sessions at ICANN meetings. The issue of Gisela and Terry to follow up on the turnaround time for transcripts, I think that's been done in terms of, it's just a massive volume during ICANN meetings that slows things down. In terms of the one page for all of the medias, we thought that was a brilliant idea. And Terry, did you want to give just a really brief update on that? I know that's coming along.
Yes, on the page?
Yes.
It is coming along. So there will be the main meeting page, and from there you can link to the individual pages at that for each meeting.
Thank you, Terry. So, Glenn, as you requested, there's going to be this one table with all of the at-large and Atlas meetings, and from that you'll be able to click on the transcripts, on the recording, on the action items, et cetera. So they're working on that. Terry and Kathy are working on that. And the issue of the crop, I think that's sort of a moot point right now because I think it's already, the web page is open now for fiscal year 15, and so you can already submit. But I'm going to just double-check on that. And those are the updates from staff. Thank you.
Okay. Heidi, this is Garth again. So one thing that that may have been missed was the PowerPoint template for the London meeting. Is that something that is available?
Absolutely. That's already on the At-Large Summit page, and I'm going to put that here. This is a summit wiki page, and you can find it a little bit lower on that page. So here's the summit workspace, and that it's already on there.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, I want to jump right into our discussion of elections. This is the time of the year where we commonly have our RALO elections, and the other regions do as well. And this, of course, is also to synchronize the cross RALO positions within the at-large advisory committee. So, first of all, in terms of posts, I'm just going to review which posts are up for re-election, reappointment, or are not up for re-election or reappointment. Number one is the NARALO chair, which is currently held by myself. That is an annual election. The second position is the NARALO secretary, which is currently held by Glenn McKnight, also annual. We have at-large advisory committee post, which is currently held by Evan Leibovich, which is term limited, and Evan is at the end of his two-year term, or his second two-year term, if I'm mistaken about that. So he cannot seek that post again for, I guess, another session, another 2 years. And there is another ALAC post, elected post, held by Eduardo. That is term limited, but is not up for re-election this year. Those terms are staggered, so we don't have a complete exit of leadership all at once. The third post for ALAC from NARALO is selected by the NOMCOM, the Nominating Committee. We don't vote on this. The Nominating Committee selects somebody who has submitted their statement of interest to the Nominating Committee to be the NARALO representative to ALAC. That's currently held by Alan Greenberg. We also have a NARALO Nominating Committee representative that is sent to the Nominating Committee to do the Nominating Committee's business from NARALO. That is currently held by Louis Uhl, and that is a two-year limit appointment, but they have to be reappointed annually. And just before I go into any of the details about some of these posts, I want to give anybody an opportunity to mention any posts that I may have overlooked. No? Okay. All right. In terms of the actual elections and selections for these posts, this is not a a campaign speech. It's just more of a bit of advice. The chair and secretariat posts are very, very time consuming. A lot of work goes into it. I've spent a lot of time working on it. Glenn has spent tons of time in his, in, you know, previous people who have held these posts. They can tell you that it can be extremely draining. For these reasons, you know, I don't expect or anticipate holding this post indefinitely. I am going to seek it again, but I also want to give other people the opportunity to have the leadership experience, to bring their own ideas forward. But just consider that when you are interested in one of these posts, that it is a lot of work. There's no money involved other than the, you know, the sponsorship to the trips, to the meetings. And you may think to yourself, as I have thought previously, that you get sponsorship to go to the ICANN meetings and you can get more of your own work done. And it's actually the complete opposite is true. You get to do much less of your own work, and you spend more and more time doing the region's work and doing the at-large advisory committee work that is required there. So just keep that into consideration. Now, in terms of nominating people for these particular posts, we are going to have an officially announced nominating period, and this is very important. Do not nominate anybody until the nominating period has been announced and commences, because if you nominate somebody before the nominating period, the nomination won't be considered. It has to happen, you know, after that. So we're going to try and get the election announcement for Naralo out this week. And I'll make sure, you know, that everybody is aware of it and everybody is aware of their opportunities to run for different posts. And anybody can nominate anybody. You can also self-nominate, okay? But in order to run for a particular post, you have to be a member of a certified at-large structure, or you have to be a documented, unaffiliated at-large member from Naralo. And you have to be residing in the North American region. You know, we're pretty open in terms of who gets to run for these posts. We do have some limitations, which are very, very important to the way that our business works. And as far as the non-com representative to ALAC, if you are interested in this post, you should submit your statement of interest, and we can get into the details of how that works, too. As far as the election goes, you know, once we have a list of nominees and the nominees have accepted, we will close that announcement period and begin the actual election. Each at-large structure gets one vote. We vote by at-large structure certification, and if you've been involved in elections before, you'll know how this works and you'll know how the announcement goes out and how you go about the business of voting. Now, I have two hands up. I want to recognize Glenn and then Olivier. Glenn, go ahead.
Yes, I checked. It's Glenn for the transfer.
What about the .mobi position? I know Murray has it currently. Is that up for renewal this year as well? Thank you.
What? I don't know. Maybe staff would be able to help me out with that. I feel like it was only recently that appointment was made. I don't know what that is. While staff researches that, I will recognize Olivier. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Garth. It's Olivier Capanoblanc speaking. So the .mobi position is, I believe, a yearly thing, but it runs on a different cycle. It doesn't run on the Naralo cycle. It runs on the ALAC cycle. So I think the nominations will take place for any liaison, including GNSO, CCNSO liaison. All of these nominations take place during the summer. With regards to what you said earlier, I think you mentioned the NOMCOM appointee to the ALAC, and although this year there will be a selection by the nominating committee to have someone from the North American region selected for the ALAC, the nomination period for that, the application period is closed already. That closed a couple of months ago because they have to make their decision by the end of the ICANN meeting that is coming up in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Okay. This is Garth. Thank you, Olivier, for that correction. So if you were hurriedly writing your statement of interest for that after I said that, I apologize. So the applications are in for that, and it's being considered. So that one has to be taken off the table. Okay. In terms of seating officers, after the election is completed, the officers will be seated or reseated in October at the ICANN meeting in Los Angeles. Does anybody have any questions about the election? Before I answer anybody's questions, we'll go to Heidi, who has her hand up. Go ahead, Heidi.
Hi, Chris. This is Heidi for the record. Just a quick update on the liaisons, including the .mobi liaison. They will be, the elections are for right up before the AGM, so this time it will be in October, this next year. Thank you.
Okay. So is there anything that anybody does not understand about the way these positions work or the way that the elections work? This is your opportunity to get a question out there about it.
Garth, yes?
Yes, please.
Yes, I have a question regarding the date when you're going to start the nomination period. And then, if I understand correctly, Naralo normally has consensus, and if not, then there is an election. So just would like to confirm that. And if there are elections, of course, we will be working with Ariel to run the elections electronically, but we need certain dates so we can organize ourselves.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Sylvia. So are you talking about consensus on what, when to have an election?
Correct. If there are some nominees that have full support, in case everybody, you don't have objections, do you have any call for consensus, as other rallos do?
This, I just want to be clear, the consensus you're talking about is consensus on the schedule for the election or consensus on the nominees?
On the nominees.
Right. Okay, yes, absolutely. I mean, they have to be, Darlene, you have your hand up, maybe you can answer the question. Go ahead.
Okay.
Hi there. Yes, it is in our rules of procedure that we can, rather than going through an election, is have a consensus. However, what we've always done is run an election timeline so that we'd have a call for nominations, you know, and then if once the call for nominations is in, if only one person has applied for a position, then fine, no vote necessary, no consensus. If there is more than one, then we usually go straight to vote. We have never tried to get a consensus in a position type of discussion. Does that make sense? Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Darlene. This is Garth. Thank you for that addition. That's something that I overlooked. Is that if there's only one candidate, if nobody else is interested in that, it's not an election. We do a regional consensus to put that person in the post. I prefer that we have competitive elections. I think that keeps everybody honest and thinking. But that is true. That is absolutely true. And Sylvia, we will come up with that hard schedule. I just wanted to go through this procedure in the call, so everybody is aware of the situation, aware of the different posts, and has opportunities to ask the question. We will we'll get the ball rolling on the election itself as soon as possible.
Good. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. We can continue discussing the election later. We can certainly do it over email or over Skype. You know, once official announcement goes out, you're certainly welcome to ask questions, but if nobody has any other immediate items about the election, we will move on to the Atlas discussion. So going into 3.2, London Atlas 2, we have still a lack of representatives from Naralo in the sponsorship group. So if you are looking for a group to join, sponsorship group is looking for members. Also, Judith wanted to let everybody know that there are opportunities to do a brief shift at the Naralo table through a Google sign-up. Judith, are you on the call? Nope. Okay. I was hoping that Judith would be able to just tell everybody a little bit more about that. But basically, we've run various information tables at different events. We did in Toronto, and everybody took turns operating the table. It's a very important thing to do, and it's also a good way to interact with the public. Going down into the table, now, earlier, about an hour ago, I received my hotel confirmation. If everybody who is on the Adobe Connect, if you could just put your checkbox up, the green checkbox, agree up, if you have received your hotel confirmation, and I will note it. Glenn, you had your hand up. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, I just posted Judith's link to the sign-up sheet. So the URL that I put in the chat is she's looking for a 15-minute slot from two people at least for the table. So that's what she was going to report on.
Okay. All right. I am I'm looking at people who are putting their check marks up. I see that Jolly McPhee has put in X, but Jolly, you're not going to be attending the meeting. There's a substitute, I believe, Jolly, who's going from your ALS. Is that correct?
Yes, Jonathan Askin.
Okay, and Jonathan is not, I don't see Jonathan on the call. So, are you, Jolly, are you saying that you don't know if Jonathan has received his confirmation, or are you saying you don't have a confirmation because you're not going?
I don't have a confirmation because I'm not going.
Okay.
Jonathan's at the Computer Freedom and Privacy Conference today, so he's not around.
Okay, all right. Let's see that Alan Skuse has put the red Xbox up. So, Alan, you did not receive a hotel confirmation? Darlene, you have your hand up. Go ahead, Darlene.
My apologies. My finger slipped. I did just mean to put on a red X, as in I have not yet received that hotel confirmation. Thank you.
Okay. But I also see here... Thomas Lowenhaus has, Seth Reese has, Robert has, Constantine has, Garth Graham has, Evan has. Okay, and we will keep me updated if you haven't received that information. And in general, if you are having any kind of problems, please keep me in the loop. Since previous trips, when people have problems, we keep a good record of any kind of travel-related issues that people encounter, and at the end of the meeting, we usually have a little tally and an examination of any issues that came up, and if we need to speak to constituency travel about it, we do that. We want to make sure that people have as few problems as possible, and that everybody's happy. Okay, I am going to clear the different check marks. Or unless people want to clear their own. So just in terms of getting the details out, I believe that I have spoken to almost everybody about their details, and everybody who did have a problem has had their problem resolved. And if you haven't, again, please let me know or let Glenn know. Okay, moving on to 3.2.2. In terms of the specifics of the actual London trip, there are 3 days on the agenda which are critical to us, to Naralo and at large. The first one is Tuesday, and that's when we have our General Assembly. And if you were looking at the schedule previously, the General Assembly was at a different time. It has been moved. It was originally at 12:30. It's now at 11 a.m., make sure you make a note of that if you had the old time written down somewhere or put it into your calendar, into your PDA. So make sure you have the correct time. The other 2 days that are very, very important are Saturday and Sunday. These are the 2 days when we have our thematic sessions for Atlas II. And as Heidi mentioned before the call, the actual schedule is up. And this should be the at least the pretty much final schedule, unless we're waiting on anything specific. Staff, are we waiting on any kind of big events to be scheduled?
This is Heidi. No, that I think that is likely to be the last version of the schedule.
Okay. Thank you very much.
While I have the floor, if I could just note also that Thursday is also a very important day because particularly in the morning, 7 to 10, that's the closing plenary, and that's when the declaration is going to be reviewed and hopefully approved by the ALS.
What declaration, Heidi?
That's the summit declaration, the Atlas II summit declaration, and that's going to be the... the combination of all of the thematic groups, the 5 thematic group reports, as well as likely some other information, which is going to be drafted Wednesday night by the leaders of the thematic groups, and then it will be put to the full group on Thursday morning.
Okay. Thank you.
And then after that, okay, go ahead.
Okay. This is Garth again. So just to talk about the schedule specifically, I sent out an email to some of you earlier today, specifically people who have not been to an ICANN meeting before. This may be your first ICANN meeting. I want to make sure that it is not a that it's not a terrifying experience. So I'm going to invite all of you to join me for breakfast on Saturday at the hotel before our sessions begin. I mean, this, of course, is voluntary, but I would like to be able to meet with you and answer any questions or resolve any potential problems. We'll figure out the time and location, but it will probably be between 7 and 9 a.m. on that Saturday, which is at 9 a.m. is when our first session starts. It's when our first Atlas II session starts, and we will have general Atlas II sessions until 1 p.m. orientation meeting, and then after that at 2:30, at 14:30 hours, the thematic sessions will begin. So we have Group 3, Global Internet, Group 4, Transparency and Accountability, Group 5, At-Large Community Engagement, and Group 2, which is the globalization of ICANN, and Group 1, the future of multi-stakeholderism. Now, if you are not a member of a working group yet, take a look at these particular thematic sessions and see what's going on inside them. Do we have any particular leaders of these sessions on the call? Just go ahead and speak up if you are.
God, this is Ali. I was going to ask a question.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Is it acceptable to, I noticed there's some, like a session for IPv6. What I did is looks like it's going to be a panel, and I'm using that as an example. Would it be okay if I contact the person who is organizing the session to find out if I can participate in that panel? And in general, is that the approach to take if we want to participate in particular sessions? Or?
Yeah, I would say that these, you know, most of the time the sessions are open. If you contact staff, staff may be able to put you in touch with the right person who is coordinating that session. What's the time of that particular session you're talking about?
It's on Thursday morning, and I sent a note to the person who is showing his organizer.
Okay. Make sure, send a note to at-large staff, tell them you're interested, and they should be able to help you find that person, or at least get in touch with the right staff person. Olivia, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Garth. It's Olivia speaking. I was going to speak to you about the thematic working groups very briefly. Thanks. I put the link over to the thematic working groups on the chat and on the page, which is referenced there. You will have all of the different thematic groups and then the selected subject matter experts, the session moderators, the assistant session moderators, and also the session reporters. So you'll notice there are quite a few people from Naralo who are volunteering for being either a subject matter expert, a moderator, or a reporter. According to the survey which was sent, the last survey which was sent out to the ALSers, I think that in 99% of the case, we've managed to put people in their first choice thematic topic. For those people that have not responded to the survey, we've allocated them randomly. And I think that the list will be shared probably either later on today or tomorrow. I'm hoping that we can distribute it early enough so as for mailing list to be created with each one of you and get you to start work on your thematic group. And I just wanted to emphasize these are really, really important groups. And as Heidi said, each one of the groups is going to come up with a report. Those are going to be all put together into a main report that will be agreed by the ELSs on Thursday morning, and then it will be voted on by the ALAC and then presented to the ICANN board as a statement, an official ALAC statement. So you can see where all of this info is going to go. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Garth, thank you very much, Olivia. I mean, this is part of the reason that we're here, and This is the space in which you bring your issues to the table and you figure out where they fit in, and you talk about things that concern you. Evan, are you on the call?
I am.
Evan, can you give us a brief description of the future of multi-stakeholderism?
Wow. It's a very broad topic that is dealing with the fact that right now we have the whole concept of multi-stakeholderism, that is, as an alternative to government multilateral control of things that have normally been done by treaty. The Internet has been run in a way that the term multi-stakeholder has been used to refer to a model of governance that involves all actors, that is, governments, business, academics, technical community, affected users. ICANN is one model of that. It's not the only model. There are others that are in use in places like IETF and elsewhere. But generally speaking, this model has been very effective in allowing the Internet to grow, stay open, and be free for innovation. Of late, there have been indications that some of this model is under attack, or at least severely being reconsidered by some governments in the world. The ITU, the International Telegraph Union, is looking to get more involved in Internet governance. If that happens, we're talking about multilateral government control as opposed to the kind of multi-stakeholder model I'm talking about. So these sessions are going to address multi-stakeholderism, deal with the concept, talk about ICANN-specific model, talk about the things that have been happening lately about it, the challenges, and also certain events such as the NetMundial meeting in Brazil that showed another model of multi-stakeholderism that was very useful as well. And so essentially to deal with how do we keep the governance of the Internet open, free, and give a voice to everybody that is affected by it.
Thank you very much. Glenn, you have your hand up. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yes, I noticed earlier that there was a missing spot for Norello on the sponsorship group. Just want to point out for the record that OG has volunteered to be on the sponsorship group.
Fantastic. Thank you for stepping up to the plate. Glenn, while your speaker is on, can you discuss briefly the global Internet user perspective thematic session?
Yeah, I'm going to be reporting on that, and Judith and I will actually share that position. It's being formalized now, so we should have more of an abstract for us later this week.
Thank you. Go ahead, Evan.
Thanks, Garth. I also want to mention one unique thing about the format of these meetings. Each of these meetings has three different kind of people involved with it besides the participants. One is a moderator, the other is a reporter, and the third is a subject matter expert. They each have different roles in it. There is no leader in these groups per se. They're meant to be driven like workshop. They're meant to encourage participation. The moderator's role is there to essentially keep the discussion going. The moderator is not necessarily someone versed in the subject matter, but it knows how to herd cats. That is the role of the subject matter experts, who are there to provide background information, resources if necessary, and are in a position to offer some expertise if the other people in the group need some background or some factual backup. And the reporter's role is essentially to take this all down and at the end of the day try and craft this into something that would form the portion of an ALEC statement document manifesto, if you would, that will result at the end of the summit.
Thank you very much for that description, Evan. Now, another thematic group is ICANN Transparency and Accountability. Alan is the session reporter for that. Alan couldn't be on the call today, but I think that this is something that needs to be discussed and people should be aware of. Being involved in the accountability and transparency review is something that has been a big priority for at large. It's one of the most important ways that we can have an impact on the way that I can operate in terms of keeping the organization honest, keeping the organization forthcoming about its information and agenda. And that information is huge in scope. And I believe that Olivier was the chair of the last Accountability and Transparency Review Team. Olivier, do you mind just letting people know what kind of work that entailed?
Thanks very much, Garth. It's Olivier speaking. I wasn't the chair, and I wasn't even a vice chair, actually. I was just one of the participants, but Alan was a vice chair of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. And in fact, Avery Doria, another person from Naraldo, was also another of the vice chairs. The ATRT2, as it was called, another one of these acronyms, looked at various things. First, it looked at the first instance of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team's work and found out, and investigated, I'd say, whether the recommendations that it had made a few years ago had actually been implemented, and it measured to what extent they were implemented and made recommendations as to whether there should be more done in this area. It also looked at the Stability and Security Review Team, or the Security and Stability Review Team report. That's another report that looked at the stability and the security of the Internet. And that group made recommendations as well a while ago. And so the ATRT2 looks at whether those recommendations were implemented as well. And then it also looked at the Who Is Review Team efforts. That's it's like a directory service which provides the real details of a domain registrant. Those recommendations, again, were evaluated as to whether they were properly implemented or not. And then finally, the fourth thing that it had to do, and that was plenty of work, was to make new recommendations based on the affirmation of commitment. The affirmation of commitment is the contract which ICANN has signed with the U.S. Department of Commerce. And in there is a section, section 9.1, which looks at the accountability and transparency of ICANN and basically makes sure that ICANN acts in the public interest. And there are several subtopics within that section 9.1, which point to what ICANN should do and how ICANN should conduct its business. So the ATRT2 basically looks at those sub-sections and made a judgment call as to whether those were being pursued or not, and in fact cut those subsections into smaller sections and tried to really dig deep and find out if ICANN was living up to its contract that it has with the U.S. Department of Commerce. In most cases, it found that ICANN was living up to the contract. In many cases, it found out there were serious improvements that were required. And so it made recommendations, a large set of recommendations to the board, that was all drafted in a report that was given at the end of December last year, December 2013. This was then passed on to the board for action, and now the board has 6 months to implement the recommendations that the ATRT2 team made. The board has not yet made those recommendations. It has 6 months, so it has until the end of June to proceed forward. And so what will happen in London is the launch of a new working group that will basically push for the implementation of those recommendations. And there is a new cross-community working group that will be created on ICANN, accountability and transparency. There were also some recommendations made towards the GAC, that's the Government Advisory Committee, and those recommendations, I had a meeting this afternoon with the chair of the GAC, she has assured us that the recommendations which were made are being worked on as we speak, so they will have some things to report, some progress to report in London. And I think I've expanded a little bit much, but obviously this working group is particularly important because we will be looking at the ATRT recommendations, and we will also be finding out if you think ICANN is accountable or how could ICANN be made more accountable than what it is today. Often we hear from outside the community, or from outside of ICANN, we hear much criticism about ICANN being unaccountable. And this is our chance and your chance to bring your points of view in and your recommendations to make this an even better ICANN than it is. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Garth again. Another thematic group is the globalization of ICANN. The session reporter there is Carlton Samuels, who is in Lac Rallo, so he's not usually on this call. But I'll just mention this briefly. What is globalization of ICANN? Well, in simple terms, the contract that ICANN had with the United States Department of Commerce is over or ending. And the question then becomes, well, what does it really mean when the Internet is globalized? And what does this mean in terms of specifics? And this is really a huge topic, and there are so many different considerations. I think that everybody probably has their own unique idea about what a global Internet, at least in terms of governance and management, what it looks like. So if this is the future of the Internet, of what we're looking at in terms of the technical administration, and if this is something that you're interested in, then this may be the session for you. And then we've also got the at-large community engagement in ICANN, and the session reporters there, Fouad and Constantine. Constantine, are you on the call? Are you able to speak about this at all? It's okay if you're not. Don't worry about it. These are all really, really important topics that require our full attention. Are there any? Somebody has their hand up. Olivier, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, Garth. It's Olivier speaking. I was just going to say a couple of words about at-large engagement in ICANN. That really is the core of our work. How do we get our at-large structures to engage more and better and more easily with ICANN and with the ICANN policy processes? And this is what this working group will be working on. We're well aware that there are huge barriers to getting involved in ICANN, primarily the knowledge barrier. This is you've got a lingo associated with it, a vocabulary with it, some of the knowledge that you need to have to be participating in working groups and so on is pretty huge. So it's not easy to get people who are not related to the Internet domain name industry or involved in their daily life with Internet governance to take part. And we would like to try and find some ways to ease the input from at-large structures and from Internet end users into the ICANN processes. And what better to discuss this than to actually have at-large structures take part in this, to work together towards some kind of recommendations. And that's it. Thanks.
Yeah. No, this is Garth again. And I think that everybody on this call is in a perfect position to be able to give their opinion about what is not working. And we've actually spent quite a bit of time in the last couple of years trying to tweak this and tweak that and make certain access issues go away or find replacements for things, find a better way of doing things. And if everybody sees something they don't like and they say so, it gives us an opportunity to address it. Okay. Nobody has any more questions or comments about the thematic sessions. We will move on. Olivia, you still have your hand up. Is that an old hand? Okay. All right. We'll move on. So we have 2 days of these thematic sessions. We're going to be very busy getting these ideas going and getting some solutions out there. And then, of course, we have our actual General Assembly, which is a really, really good opportunity for us as a region to get together face-to-face. Doesn't happen that often, and it's very important. Especially with an election coming up, this is a great way that we can all kind of see the candidates and see the leadership and have a discussion about ideas. And I'm really, really looking forward to it, and I'm really looking forward to meeting many of you who I've never met before and working with many of you who I've worked with before. And this is a great opportunity. So does anybody have any comments or questions about the meetings in particular coming up in London. Now, as Augie asked, there is a particular session on the calendar that he's very interested in. I would encourage all of you to really go through this schedule for the week and look for topics that appear interesting to you, maybe things that you're not familiar with that you want to learn about, or something that you have strong feelings about and you want to get involved. And actually going to a session and seeing a presentation and hearing panelists and then meeting those panelists face-to-face is a great way for at-large members to get involved in cross-constituency work. So then you get to see what other constituencies are out there trying to shape the policy. There may be people you disagree with. There may be people that you agree with. There may be people who are seeking help and you know how to help them, et cetera, et cetera. So find sessions that you're really interested in and go to them. I believe that almost every session is open to every constituency. There are a few sessions which are closed-door sessions. There are certain constituencies that have private meetings. For example, the GAC has private meetings. The board has private meetings. Registrars have private meetings. For the most part, all of the at-large sessions are open, because that is why we're here. We're trying to get ideas, open participation, and make sure that everybody gets represented. So if you look on the calendar, you'll see that some of the session colors are blue. Anything that's blue is completely open. Sessions that are closed are usually in pink and have a C in brackets for closed. Now, there may be opportunities for, you know, you to attend one of these sessions as a guest of somebody. I mean, I've been in some closed sessions before because I was asked to be there or be part of a panel. So it's not something that's necessarily impossible. And in terms of reviewing the schedule, I have a list from all of you of topics that you're very concerned about and work that you want to do. I'm going to be going through these different events and making recommendations to all of you, you know, for sessions that I know of that may be useful for you to attend. And I'll be sharing those with you as time goes on. Okay. Nobody else has any questions or comments? Moving on with other meetings. The next ICANN meeting after this one is in Los Angeles, October 12th to the 16th. There are some suggestions from Judith. CTIA's Super Mobility Week in September in Las Vegas, the Consumer Electronics Show in January in Las Vegas, and then South by Southwest in March in Austin, Texas. Now, South by Southwest is something that I believe Glenn attended this past year, and I remember having a conversation with you, Glenn, about this, about whether or not this was a good territory to do outreach in. And Glenn, what was your takeaway of that particular event in terms of recruitment?
Yeah, I think it's a great event. I did it separate with not to promote ICANN or Norello. I was there for other reasons, but I was pretty impressed. It's probably one of the best conferences that in this part of the world. It's very innovative. Austin is a great location for creative thought, and we need to reach out to that part of America. So I think it's a great great event, and I believe Judith recommended that we go next year as part. Judith, are you there?
Yes, I am there.
Well, Judith or Glenn, I mean, what in terms of internet governance would be, I guess, of support to the folks who attend that event?
Hold on a minute. Let me just mute this. Okay. So I think in terms of internet governance, there's a lot of sessions. There are some sessions, I think, on internet governance.
Judith, I think you might have hit your mute button again, but that's okay. We'll dig up some more details on these events, and if we can make any contacts with some of the event organizers, that's always useful too. I've reached out specifically to different conference organizers, and speaking to those folks directly is usually pretty helpful. I had a good meeting with the Black Hat organizers at RSA March. So then moving on, if you have any other meetings, of course, always send them to myself or to the secretary, and we'll be sure to post them and to start doing research on them. In terms of our outreach, we've had a great year of outreach. We just certified a whole slew of new ALSs, and most recently among them is the E-Manitoba, which is Anthony's group, the Manitoba E-Association. And we've actually got a couple of more ALSs, new ALSs, in the pipeline who are about to submit their applications. Glenn or I have been helping them out with their applications. So in terms of recruitment, we've had a really, really good year, and I think everybody should give themselves a good pat on the back for these efforts, because getting more community groups into at-large is the best way that we can do our work. So I appreciate everybody's participation in this particular area. Now that we've talked about our two main items, the election and the London meeting, I want to give any community groups or working groups a chance to report on work that they're doing, starting with NONCOM, with Louis. Are you there, Louis? Nope, that's okay. We will go and we'll move on until come back to you. We've also, do we have any reports from CROP?
Hi, Darlene Thompson speaking here.
Go ahead, Darlene.
Thank you. We did just, excuse the other phone ringing in the background. We did just have a meeting on that this morning. The CROP program, as you may know, has been extended to cover this next following fiscal year, this fiscal year 15. There has been a few tweaks made to it. The ones that would affect us are that we no longer have to have an alternative traveler. We don't have to list that anymore. They thought that was going to make things easier, and it just makes it more difficult, so they scrapped it. Also, the new CROP for this year will also cover registration fees, conference registration fees. So that's going to make it a lot easier, too, because there are some conferences we couldn't do last year because of high registration fees. The one thing that is really important and that we need to look at, like, right away is that Constantinos has put in a request for the ICC, I believe it's called, Glenn already got me on this earlier, the IETF 90 meeting in Toronto, and he's put in a proposal for that, but we don't have regional support on that. And the question that came up was, is there nobody in the Greater Toronto Area that could go to that for free to do the same thing? If not, then does the region support sending Constantinos? If so, then we need to get right on it, because this is coming right up. Thank you very much.
Okay. I believe, this is Garth, I thought that Constantine had also had submitted a different request.
I don't believe so. He did submit this request some months ago, and it had to be turned down for fiscal year 14 because it fell outside of fiscal year 14's parameters. So what we've basically done is kind of pushed it into fiscal year 15, even though it doesn't have regional support yet, and we can't consider it without that.
Okay. I believe Constantine is typing something, and I want to give him a second to finish typing. Yeah, okay. One thing that Constantine wanted to bring up is that he has unique reasons for wanting to attend this this meeting, and he has different outreach agenda than the folks who live in the Toronto area have. So, I mean, this is probably something that should be discussed at least. Okay. But we're running out of time on this call. This is something we'll keep talking about. Now, Gordon, if Gordon is on the call, you had a call earlier, Glenn mentioned. Was this an ICANN-related working group call?
This is Gordon for the record. Thank you, Garth. I believe he might be referring to the Technology Task Force.
Yes.
Met this morning. A couple of items came up for discussion. One of them was the thorny issue of connecting to Adobe Connect from Linux. There's a couple of solutions to them. I call it one and a half because I'm not confident of one of them. But the other solution does seem to work. There was some discussion on social media strategy as well, and a couple of solutions that are starting to come to the fore. So there'll be some further investigation on that, and I suspect a report might actually turn up in London.
Okay, thank you very much. Before I move on to ALAC, are there any other working groups who have a comment? I don't know if Louis managed to make it on the call. No? Okay. Then I would like to give the floor. Oh, Glenn, you have your hand up. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, we've been working hard at an accessibility working group, but I heard through Ganella that we will not be meeting, and I want to bring up an issue. Is that if we're canceling meetings, especially this accessibility group, it loses momentum. So I'd like to understand what meetings are being canceled due to Atlas. I would have thought we would still have time later in the week to have these type of meetings like accessibility or others.
Thank you, Glenn, for reminding me of this. I actually had a couple of meeting ideas that were squashed because was told that there would be no time during the meeting, and I just wonder how much of that. How much time other than Sunday, Saturday, and then some of the more specific Atlas II sessions during the week. I mean, how much of the time is occupied by that realistically? Heidi, go ahead.
Hi, this is Heidi. There is little time. In fact, there are no working group meetings this time at an ICANN meeting just because there are too many meetings. Saturday, Sunday are full. Monday, the Sunday session of the ALAC and the regional officers has moved to Monday afternoon. There's also a round table on Monday. The general assemblies are Tuesday and Wednesday. For a long time, they're about 2 to 3 hours apiece, and then Thursday is full of the final plenary and the ALAC wrap up, and then the board session, the public forum, and the board session. So the only group that is meeting is the Expanded Academy group, which is a cross community group. So that's where we are on that. Now most of the working groups are having updates on Tuesday afternoon during the ALAC Part 2 session.
Okay. Hi, this is Garth. Thank you. So in terms of different constituencies, you're saying that is this just an at-large issue, or just are all constituency groups focused on constituency issues and not having any working group meetings?
No, this is Heidi again. This is just because it's Atlas. So we've had to, again, shift a little bit to Monday. All day Tuesday is full with general assemblies in the afternoon. We have more ALAC working sessions all afternoon. Wednesday are general assemblies. And then we go into Thursday, which is full in terms of the final plenary and the wrap-up session straight into the public meeting.
Okay. All right. This is Garth again. I want to make sure that all of our work, you know, does not get lost, and I want to make sure that the different working groups that at-large is involved in continue. And so to that end, I'm going to try and figure out a way that we can at least squeeze in some discussion during our existing space without without jeopardizing any of our Atlas II work to make sure that issues that we've spent a lot of time working on get addressed. And anybody else can talk to me about that offline later. Okay, moving on to ALAC. I want to start with Olivier, if you have any ALAC specific updates.
Yeah, thanks very much, Garth. It's Olivier speaking. And on the ALAC side of things, of course, we've got the standard policy development process, which takes place. This is a pipeline that keeps on moving policy work forward. And we had a number of statements which were recently drafted. Let me just put the link onto the chat. Here's the link to the policy development work that we're currently doing. At the moment, we have three policy statements that are open. There is one which is currently in drafting. That's the fiscal year 15 operating plan and budget. The ALAC Finance and Budget Subcommittee, of which there are members of Naralo on, are looking at this, and DC Benjamin is hoping the first draft to be put out, and hopefully that will be out for comment very soon. On the currently open comments for commenting, we've got the ICANN draft 5-year strategic plan. That is the plan that ICANN is making to look at the future developments of ICANN in the next 5 years. And so we're currently commenting on that. A first draft of a statement has been prepared by Devananti Singh and Rafid Tatani. You're very much encouraged to comment on this draft and perhaps add a little bit more onto the draft. It's still open. The comment period for at-large is still open until the 25th of, until the 20th of this month. So you've got another 10, 11 days to work on that. The third one that's open but that has gone through the drafting or the commenting process and is undergoing voting at the moment is the board member compensation. Alan Greenberg has written a first draft based on the discussions on the ALAC. This is now, as I said, being voted on. There are a couple of days left. There are three statements at the moment which are written as to be confirmed or to be decided on. The first was the study to evaluate solutions for the submission and display of nationalized contact data. And so we're currently looking at this with the Who Is Working Group. Well, actually, it used to be the Who Is Working Group. It's, of course, now called the Registration Registrant Issues Working Group. Sorry. It looks at the moment as though we might not have a statement for this, simply because it's still very early days. This process is still very early days, and the ALAC will have plenty of time in the future to comment. Then the Registrar Stakeholder Group Charter Revisions of May 2014. We've got until the 20th of this month to comment. Having read through it and having asked our current GNSO liaison, Alan Greenberg, the feedback has been that we probably will not be filing a statement about this. This is all about the expansion of the registrar stakeholder group. As you know, with all of the new applicants for new GTLEs, and there will be a lot more registries and a lot more registrars that will be around, and they're trying to do some internal reorganization to make sure that they're able to work with all of the new arrivals that are there. A bit technical, and I'm not quite sure whether it really affects internet end users, but you're very welcome to read through it, and if you think otherwise, please flag this as soon as possible. And then finally, enhancing ICANN accountability. That's a pre-working group a public comment. As I mentioned to you earlier, there is going to be a working group on ICANN accountability, a cross-community working group on ICANN accountability that's going to be created. And this really is
basically a set of questions to try and set the scene prior to the London meeting. It will actually be on Thursday morning there will be a session on discussing ICANN accountability. And it might well be that instead of drafting a statement, putting a statement in writing, and then sending it to ICANN, we might wish to, as we have so many people that will be there, we might wish to take fully part in the public session and bring our input forward as individuals to provide details about enhancing ICANN accountability. These are the three that are currently under consideration. And, of course, I'm open to any questions if there are.
Anybody have any questions for Olivier? No. Okay. This is Garth. One other item that you should be aware of. On Monday, there is a DNS Women's Breakfast at 7 a.m. This is a women's only breakfast. As much as I may try, I've never been able to get in, but it's something that is an open opportunity for people to attend. Heidi, how would Neuralo folks get notified about how to get into that? Okay, we'll find that out later. So moving on then to our next ALAC member. Evan, do you have any commentary about ALAC-specific issues?
Only that specific things that I'm following in terms of my involvement on the new GTLD committee has to do with the issue of public interest commitments and public advisory boards. This issue, the deadline for public comments recently ended. We've been waiting to get staff summary before doing a new meeting of the working group, but I sent out an email last night to the members to have a look at the comments that were received. This is still, I hesitate to say it's a hot topic because it's already been advanced to the board and the board has rejected it, but it's still important to a lot of people in the community that are not letting it go, including myself. And so we're evaluating the public comments. ALAC put out the public comment because the ICANN board didn't. So we've received the comments back, and so now the trick of the working group is to get that feedback and see what kind of action we need to take next.
Okay. Thank you, Evan. Staff, I have a question for you, one more question about the London meeting. Do our ALSs have to submit a registration? Because I know in the past, just being part of ATLAS gets the registration moving, but I want to make sure that nobody is left out.
This is Heidi. Yes, absolutely. They are all going to be participating in the ICANN 60th meeting, so they do need to register. It is online. We'll get that up to you in a chat, and that will actually allow you then to get the meeting tag that you need. So, yes.
Okay, so it, just in case everybody didn't hear that, everybody needs to go and register for this meeting, and we'll send out details about how to do that. And this gets you tag and information packets and a badge for the meetings, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, this is Heidi again. It gets you actually the swag bag, basically. The information packets everyone will be getting during the first plenary session on Saturday morning.
Yeah. Heidi, I did have the question previously about the DNS Women's Breakfast.
I've seen that. Judith and I have been communicating on the chat. So I think if you're a woman, you're invited.
That's okay. That makes it easy. All right.
Okay.
All right. If nobody else has any further comments or questions, I will close this call. Look for information about the election. Look for information about specifics at ATLAS 2 in London. If you have any problems, any questions, please let me know, let Glenn know, let staff know, and we'll get those resolved as quickly as possible. And I will be in touch with you all about meeting in person at in London, and I hope to see you all there. Looking forward to it. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good flight, everyone. See you in London.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Once again, that does adjourn today's meeting. Thank you very much for joining. Please disconnect all remaining lines at this time.
Did it change that? Did it have that counter?